Okay.
Stand by. Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's IBM Tivoli Talk, Passport Advantage for TAM ESSO conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to Ms. Liz Merrill. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Amy. Welcome, everyone. Happy Friday for those of you in the U.S. and in Europe. This is Liz Merrill, and I'm the Tivoli Channel Integration Lead for the Incentuate acquisition. With us today, we have E.K. Koh, who's our Program Director for the Tivoli Single Sign-On Project. We have Keith Carlton, who is with the Tivoli Pricing Organization, and we also have Mike Hahn with Tivoli Business Development. And we're here to talk to you about the Passport announcement that took place this week around the IBM Tivoli or TAM ESSO version 8 offering. So today, by the way, I'm on slide 2 for today's agenda. EK will take us through some of the feature functionality, why we purchased Incentuate, some value propositions that you, our partners, may want to consider as you look at this offering. And then also, EK and Mike will address questions around PathLogic and some migrations there. Keith will take us through pricing. And then I have some information related to partner programs with IBM and, of course, the typical call for action. We also have Vivian here who will talk to us if you've got questions around a channel play that's covering this offering. So with that, I'd like to turn the call over to EK and direct your attention to slide 3.
Please, thank you. Welcome, everybody. Appreciate you taking time to attend this call. Let me start by saying that TAM ESSO version 8 is built entirely on Incentuate technology. So this is the first, if you will, completely Blue Rings release of the Incentuate product. And just to rewind a little, Incentuate was acquired by IBM in March of this year. And some of the key reasons for that acquisition is listed on slide number 3. As you know, Incentuate is very well recognized in the industry for having a best-in-class product. We have 80-plus and growing rapidly number of customers in multiple sectors, and they are very highly referenceable. They have been very happy with our product and deployment. So you know that you now have a product that works, that customers like and analysts like. So it should make your job of selling this new product much, much easier than you might have experienced in the past. Another reason for the acquisition was our architecture was much more complementary with the rest of the Tivoli product line, and it makes it a lot easier for integration. So there's a lot of pros that, you know, for the acquisition. And And single sign-on, as we well know, it's the tip of the spear. Many organizations are looking at the entire identity access management solution, and single sign-on is a very good first project for them to get started. So, with all that said, I'd like to lead you to slide number 4. With Incentuate, with enterprise single sign-on, it really fits into the entire IBM security framework. If you look at slide number 4, you can see how ESSO is part of the identity and access management framework. IBM, you know, as part of its breadth of offering, has pretty much end-to-end coverage of all these different security layers, starting from infrastructure security to application, data security, identity access management, and compliance. ESSO clearly fits in the identity access management layer together with other products such as iTeam, you know, Tivoli Identity Manager, TAM eBusiness, and Federated, you know, Identity Manager, the TFIM product line. The acquisition also completes IBM's ESSO single sign-on portfolio. If you look at slide number 5, it shows you how TFIM, TAM eBusiness and ESSO together address the end-to-end need for access management for our customers and your customers. So a typical customer would have needs for intranet, would have needs to federate their access across their lines of businesses and with their partners, and they would have needs to help their employees sign on to all the different types of applications that they have. And all these different access needs and sign-on requirements can now be addressed by IBM through their portfolio of single sign-on products. So it is very synergistic, and we are very excited about this version 8 release and how we can bring to you a complete end-to-end single sign-on solution and a complete end-to-end security solution. Moving on to slide number 6. So now let us take a little bit of time to look at what is new in version 8. Now I have listed on slide number 6 all the key features of version 8. Now I'm not going to spend time in this call to go over all of them one at a time. I'll highlight the new ones, the new changes, right? And in red are the new enhancements that has just been announced compared to our version 3.6 release, the old and Centurate product. So you'll see multilingual support, for example. You'll see enhancements in Access Studio. But compared to TAM-ESSO version 6, there are some new capabilities that the existing customer will experience as well. This will include support for private desktops, would include support for web workplace, and also how we leverage the existing infrastructure differently. For example, we do not need them to extend their directory schemas. So this is a summary slide. I'm going to take the next couple of slides and just drill in a little bit more on some of these differences. Moving on to slide number 7. One of the key themes for version 8 is to offer simpler tools for global user base. Many of you might already know, those of you who have used our products know that one of our strengths is our ability to onboard applications very easily. Compared to version 6, we have much more powerful onboarding tools. We have a product component called the Access Studio. And what that allows you to do is to automate the generation and the configuration of single sign-on profiles for different types of applications. Now, within Access Studio, there is the Access Studio Wizard and then Access Studio Advanced. Access Studio Wizard is a very easy drag-and-drop type wizard interface that will walk you through how to profile for different applications. We also have Access Studio Advanced, and Access Studio Advanced allows you to configure and specify complex interactions with your application. So you can go beyond single sign-on, or if you have a login screen that is a multi-step login, you can use Access Studio Advanced to do that. And in version 8, we have greatly simplified that process of using Access Studio Advanced. Instead of a form-based interface, which was what is available in the last release, in version 8, we are introducing a new concept called visual profiling. You can literally drag and drop different state diagrams and state transitions to specify how you want to interact with that particular application. And then we'll auto-generate for you the profile that's required to make that automation work. So once again, there's no need for you to do complex programming and scripting. Everything can be done through a very intuitive GUI interface. And we really, really believe that visual profiling is the next step, you know, to this profile automation process. So I think you will really enjoy that capability. We are also expanding our support for different languages. In version 8, we will globalize all our client-side interfaces, so our access agents will be available in different languages, and I've listed those language support in on slide 7. So in addition to English, you'll get, you know, Chinese, French, and you know, the other 15 languages. So that would help you if you have a customer in those language segments, or if you have a customer who have subsidiaries in those language segments, to address those needs. Clearly, single sign-on will now also work for applications that have user interfaces in a foreign language. So that would be supported as well. It is important to note, however, that the server-side components, right, the IMS server that is used to manage all these different client softwares and some of our other client-side components like the Access Assistant, which is used for password self-help, or Web Workplace, which is used for single sign-on, browser-based single sign-on, those will still be in English. Those would be globalized in the next release. The next thing, enhancement for version 8, is the support for Team version 5. So now Team version 5 will also work seamlessly with TAM ESSO version 8. So in that scenario, if you have a new user who comes and joins the company, you can provision him in Team version 5, and Team will inform the TAM ESSO server that there's a new user, and these are the 5 applications that he has been provisioned for, and what the application username passwords are. So the new user will only need to know how to log in to TAM ESSO and not have to worry about all the different application credentials. All those will automatically be managed through TAM ESSO. And similarly, when he leaves or he changes role and access privileges change, Team will inform TAM ESSO and make sure that the privileges that have been terminated will no longer be available for sign-on through TAM ESSO. So it's very integrated. We are also extending support to DB2. As some of you know, Accenture stores its user information and audit logs in databases. And in our earlier releases, we support Oracle. We support Microsoft SQL databases. We will still support those, but we are also extending support to DB2. Next on the list of enhancements is protection of our cash wallets. Now, some of you are aware that every user in the TAM ESSO system will have a user wallet. It is very similar to your real-life physical wallet. It contains all your online credentials, and it will roam to where the user logs in to help them do the single sign-on. Users can choose to cache that wallet, and many times they do. They cache it on their work machine so that if they're offline, they can continue to do single sign-on. And in this version 8 release, we would enhance the security protection for those cache wallets from AES 128 to AES 256. Okay, so those are security enhancements. They are part of version 8. The next two slides, I want to talk a little bit more from the perspective of TAM ESSO version 6 customers. So in version 6, they probably have not seen what private desktop is, what web workplace is. So if you have a version 6 customer who is wondering what's new for them as well, then you want to let them know that we have support for private desktop, which is a way of doing session management on kiosk machines. With version 6, customers can choose to share the kiosk through a generic Windows login. We call that shared desktop. We have that too. They can also choose to use a terminal server desktop which will roam with them. We support that too. We call that a roaming desktop. But what is new for these version 6 customers would be support for private desktops. And in the private desktop configuration, we will actually allow the customer to configure multiple desktops on each kiosk machine. So if you have 5 users sharing a kiosk, you can have 5 desktops, one for each of the user, and they can operate within the secure desktop and switch to a new desktop if a new user comes. So that way everybody can have their work saved where they left it without having to restart every time. Very productive and very secure for each user. So this is something new for version 6, but it has been with the Accenture product for at least the two prior releases. So it's a very well-tested solution, but for version 6 customers, they might be seeing this particular feature for the first time. The next one, same thing. It has been with the Accenture product line, but it is probably new to a version 6 user and the concept of web workplace. Now, when you do single sign-on, users usually very quickly forget their application passwords. So we have to be very mindful when we work with our customers to help them understand that after you have deployed single sign-on within your corporate environments, they have to very quickly think about how remote users or how traveling users will get access when they are off-site. And some of these customers might have extranets where users could come in from unmanaged machines. And if they have that, then they should consider putting a web workplace in place so users who come in through a browser can still log in with the same single sign-on password and get single sign-on to the different applications that are available to them remotely. That way, they will never have to remember their application passwords, and it could save them a lot of password challenges. So that is web workplace and private desktop, and both of them are new, if you will, to a version 6 customer, but has been with the product line in the last two releases. I am on slide number 10, just to summarize. Version 8 is once again built on Accenture technology, and the good news is we have very clear market differentiation. If you talk to analysts, they speak very highly of our product. We have won the best identity management, best single sign-on, best two-factor solution for 3 years running. Clearly acknowledged to be a strong solution that would really help you in your sale process. Some of the key differences, if a customer might ask, how are you different? Well, I listed a couple over here. First is integrated strong authentication. And I emphasize the word integrated. With Accenture, if you deploy strong authentication, you can manage it through our SIM admin interface. It is integrated into our Jina, so our Jina will respond directly to it. And what is really important too is that while we do not claim to support every single strong factor available out there because there are just too many different brands, we support a very broad class and very broad type of use scenarios. So one of the key things we do is to make sure we leverage what you have already for strong authentication. So things like building access badges, cell phones are very uniquely supported by the TAM ESSO product line. Next is the coverage of access points. When you have single sign-on, as I said, you want to make sure that your customers think about how different user groups will be accessing. It's not just about doing single sign-on within the office, but what about the remote offices? What about people who come in remotely? And so product lines like, components like web workplace can really help out in those use scenarios. Profiling tools, we have very strong profiling tools. You will find in prior releases, customers might be challenged with onboarding applications, but in this new TAM ESSO release, our tools, Access Studio Advanced, Access Studio Wizard, are much, much easier to use, and you'll be able to onboard and support a broader range of applications very easily. Session management, I talk about what private desktop is about, so that is something very unique to the TAM ESSO product line. And last but not least, integration across the IBM identity access management product lines like Team and TAM EV and other reporting functions like TSIM. If you recall in the earlier slide, I talked about how IBM has an end-to-end security framework and pretty much have products in every layer. And one of the value of buying IBM is that customers can expect that the product components will work properly across these different layers. And we are committed to doing that. And even if the customer is, you know, prefers to start with one product or the other, they can have the peace of mind that when they need to have new components, new products deployed, that all these will work together. We can't say the same of other vendors that, you know, may or may not always work together. So that is a peace of mind that our customers should appreciate. So I'm on slide 11. I'd like to, you know, call to action here is that we really want to reach out to our partners. We want to make sure we help you be successful and you help us to be successful. There are many reasons why this is a product line that you should very actively engage in. This is the best single sign-on solution in the industry. There is no easier way to open doors than to tell them you need to look at this product line or you are not doing your due diligence. It is easy to sell, I think, compared to other identity access management components. It has a nice demo. It is end user focused. End users understand how they could benefit from a solution like this. So it's easy to tell the story. It is easy to upsell because it is the tip of the spear. Because once you have enterprise single sign-on deployed very quickly, they need to think about how I provision all these different accounts and how I do reporting. And so it could lead into a lot of different upsells across IBM portfolio. And next, I mean, it does drive services and consulting. There's installation and setup. There's workflow configuration and automation that is part of the solution. There's profiling. There's training of administrators, training classes. And just consulting on how to bring in the rest of the identity management framework. So there is a lot of value-added services that you can bring to bear that would benefit your customers. Moving on to slide 12, which is my last slide, give you a quick update on where we are with version 6 customers. Mike and his team have spent a good number of weeks now talking to our existing version 6 customer base, and many have chosen to upgrade and move on immediately, and even more are in different stages of proof of technologies process. And we do have migration tools to help them automate at least part of that process to make it easier for them. By and large, TAM ESSO version 8 has been very well received by the install base of existing IBM customers because of the ease of onboarding, because of our private desktop session management capability, and because of our centralized reporting capability that previously was not available to these customers. They are very excited about those possibilities. So we do have a team led by Mike that is available to help with existing customers who want to see how version 8 works and maybe talk about a demo or if they need help with transition plans. Those services are headed by Mike Hahn, and he's on call to take your questions, and his email is listed on the slide if you need to reach out to him. Liz, with that, I will hand the presentation back to you.
Super. Thanks, EK. And what I'd like to do is pass it over to Keith and cover the pricing content, open it up for questions, and then we'll finish up with the channel updates. So, Keith?
Okay. Thanks, everybody. The first slide we're going to look at on the is the definitions. For most of you that are familiar with the Tivoli security products, we have we use a volume tiering table to figure out what to order. Tivoli and a lot of the Tivoli products get into volumes in the tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, and even millions. For TAM ESSO, over the past year, we have synced up all of our per-user value unit-based products onto one volume tiering table. Previously, there was as many as four or five volume tiering tables out there at one time. Over the last 18 months, we have synced all of our per-user, val-unit-based products, Tivoli Access Manager for e-business, the single sign-on offering here, Federated Identity Manager, Identity Manager, and Tivoli Identity Manager, all now use the exact same volume tiering table. They use the exact same definitions. So we're trying to simplify and make it easier. It may not seem like a simple explanation, but that's what we're doing at this time. We have 250 is the minimum order quantity. That is not just set there because of we just don't want to get it out to smaller quantities. That is set due to our support and subscription costs that give us kind of a bare minimum, because this is a low price product based on the per user value unit metric. With the standard edition, as you see at the top, it's $69, the suite at $99, and the trade up is also available. This is essentially a very low price product on an individual basis. When you think about the products that go for $10,000 to $250,000 or even more for the main servers, we can go with a single quantity to cover the support cost. One call for a product at this product would eat up the any profit or any profitability on this. So the 250 is a minimum. It's 250 incremental, also up to the first 1,000, and 1,000 after that. Definitions, the key between an internal and external user is the enterprise test. An enterprise is the organization, the company that employs the person or object. And the corporation and its subsidiaries that it owns by greater than 50% are all considered internal. And so it's all-inclusive, mutually exclusive. If they're not part of that, they're external. So essentially what we're looking at is employees versus external users being suppliers, business partners, vendors, customers, contractors, anything that is not directly owned by the enterprise or a subsidiary greater than 50%. The table that we use for all of our per-user value unit products is the one that's in the lower left. The first tier goes up to 5,000, second tier to 15. And then you can see the rest of the tiers up to greater than 3 million users. And believe me, we have a lot of up-tos out there where the number of external users can be in the tens to almost 100 million. So we do, for somebody like an AT&T or somebody like that. And so we have a big variety now. And the internal users are calculated at 1-to-1. That means one internal user is equal to one to charge for. Whereas for the external users, in order to equate kind of the market value of that external user, where they're going, if their identity gets stolen, somebody breaks their access, the pain is going to hurt a company in some ways more than if it's an internal one, because they're going to lose that customer probably for life, if not get sued. So, but they are equated at 15-to-1 for users to charge for. And so you sum them together. That's what you put in here, the total chargeable users. So nowadays they can mix and match within their value unit total. We don't care. It's one chargeable total for internal and external that you're going to charge for. And, the internal could go down, external could go up, or some other variation where they get more internal employees, their external customers aren't as high, and so that swing, they're still within their entitlements. So it works pretty good. So when we look at the table, one of the approaches that can be taken is that you can create something in Excel, something simple. You can just create this table and then have the multiplication you see in column D is the total for that row, for that tier. For the first tier, it's 1-to-1. It's straightforward. You don't start getting your volume discounting until the second tier. And so what I've set this up to show is that you could set up a similar type of thing on a spreadsheet. We're not allowed to give out spreadsheets because of currency changes, but I think most people nowadays have the computer spreadsheet skills to do a multiplicative where, you know, you take column B or the number there times C and you get D. So the total for each, if you maxed out each of those buckets, and tier 1, tier 2, tier 3, all the way down to tier 7, you would see it would be 150,000 value units, actually 150,500. So, and then after that, in the larger tiers, most people won't get into that. As I said, we do have examples of that, but those are some of the very huge worldwide organizations. Most of you will probably be in the first through fourth tier, maybe getting into the fifth or sixth tier if you have a lot of service engagements, those type of opportunities where you have the opportunity to get to the larger numbers, especially external customers. So the column D is kind of what you do. As you fill up each of these buckets, you can take a look at column E and just do a cumulative. And one of the reasons I'm doing this is because I'm trying to help people in the field. You know, I can't do an Excel course, but you could take a lot of those online. Excel site now has some excellent training. You can take 20 minutes, go through the training, and then it'll take you 10 minutes to build this spreadsheet. Anyway, but what you do is then you sum up the cumulative, and you can create a dozen of these on a spreadsheet. And so that you have a clean one, take a look at your totals to charge for, go down, figure out which tier they end up in. If it was like 100,000 to charge for, 100,000 chargeable users after you sum up your internal and external, you would be in tier 4. So you can just take the cumulative from tier 3 and then calculate that, oh, the B times C for the 50,000 that are in that one, and you got it. Add it together. I mean, there's many ways you can do it. I mean, there's also a if-and function in Excel where you can go through and it'll just take that number, you drop it in the top of that number, and it'll tell you what your total is because it'll go and find out if you're between one tier and the next tier, if-and, then it'll say for you to use these two things in your calculation. That's fairly straightforward. I'm going to try to put in a backup slide. I've talked to the team here that talks about the Excel functions and set some of these up. It's not something you can do in 5 minutes, but it's something you can do in 50 if you really want to get good at it and have your teams have something. And you can use it for all our per-user value unit-based products. Again, it sometimes seems more complex than it is. It's really an A times B, or in this case, B times C, and then adding them up for the partial tier, whatever that is. So if we go to the next slide, slide 15, here's kind of an example of that. What we did here is I built a little table at the top in Excel where I put in the authorized users. You know, you have your internal ones that you're going to authorize, and you have your external users you want to authorize, and it gives you what the total would be to charge for. The internal, again, are 1-to-1. The external are 15-to-1. And as we mentioned, too, in the previous slide, you got to round that up to increments of 1,000. So the ones that you're going to charge for are 21,000. Authorized users are the 170, but the ones you're going to charge for is the 21,000. One of the things that a lot of people say, well, why can't we just, you know, each tier charge a different price? If we try to do that, we would have to have a different part numbers for each tier. We would also have a set ourselves up for a situation of arbitrage. And by that I mean, if you were between the first and second tier, 4,000 chargeable users is 165K in this example for something that's 4125. 6,000 users in volume two, the tier second tier, is also 165,000. In doing it this way, with volume tiering, there is no opportunity for arbitrage at the higher numbers. You can still get incremental sales. So as the company grows, you can continue to gain revenue. You don't have to over-entitle them early on. So it really is a fairly straightforward process. Calculate what you're going to be charging for, how many internal and external. And then you go through each of these tiers. For the 21,000, you fall in tier 3. The 21 is 6,000 more than the 15,000. You know what your cumulative total is for tier 1 and tier 2. And for that 6,000, that's 6,000, you multiply that out, that's 1,800 to the previous total or some. There's multiple ways to attack it, and then there's your total to order, 11,800. You can do it with an A times B and just sum up your ones at the end. In column D, you could have gone into that third tier, and you could have just done your multiplication there. How many of the thousands are chargeable? In column C, you would have changed that 35 to a 6. And it would have calculated that for you. Right below it, you could just highlight those three cells. It'll give you the total. You could zero out the stuff below it. You could put in a sum at the bottom. There's multiple ways to do this. And that's why I said if you create one of these tables, create 10 of them on the same sheet. That way you can just drop them in and zero out the other stuff, and you can get your totals. If you go to the next slide, what this does is take it kind of a next step and say that same company came back and they're authorized users now. They want 30,000 internal and 1,000,000 external. You plug them into those same tables up there, tells you what you're going to charge for. In this case, it's 97,000 is what you're going to charge for. And you go back through, do the same calculation. This time you're in tier 4. Add that partial for the tier. 97 would be 47,000 more than the 50,000. So that's what you would put in column C instead of the 100. Put 47,000. It'll calculate the 9,400. Add that to the previous total. Gives you your 29,900. And at the bottom then, you would subtract that, what they need to entitle for their new environment, from the previous environment, and tells you how many they need to get incremental to entitle their new environment, 18,100. That's pretty much it. It's the same volume tiering table now for all of our per user value unit price products. Minimum order quantities, 250. We have to cover our base subscription costs, S&S, maintenance. The incremental above 1,000 is in thousands. Internal users are 1-to-1. External users are 15-to-1. Sum them together to get what you're going to charge for that environment. That's what you put through the volume tiering table. And that's pretty much it. Any questions or an answer, or do you want to move on to the next section?
I think what I'd like to do is I would like to go through just the last slides very quickly, maybe 5 minutes, and then spend the rest of the time to address Q&A on the products, the Pathologics, and pricing. because we're almost out of time. So with that, I'd like to direct everyone's attention to slide 18. From a strategy perspective for our business partners around this offering, the Legacy and Centuate partners, and we welcome you, by the way, to IBM, are asked to sign up for the IBM Partner World program so that you can gain access to those program benefits. All resale business will be conducted through IBM-authorized distributors. So once you sign up for Partner World, you'll be able to establish a relationship with the distributor and then ultimately gain access to some of our partner incentives such as VAP and SVI. Existing IBM Partner World and Passport Advantage partners will be able to sell this offering today. As you know, Passport pricing for customers have also been announced. Support is offered directly through IBM. The SVI program, once the SVI tables are loaded, are applicable to this offering. We are working on a VAP solution, and it is in design stage, and I would expect that offering to be available late September, early October. Moving on to slide 19, from an enablement perspective, we always encourage you to stop first at the Tivoli Knowledge Center. And I've included the URL in this deck. There are several pre-sales and pre-sales technical workshops that are in schedule right now, and I've provided that list for you on slide 19, and this is a worldwide list. But if you have any questions about a schedule near you, then please contact Renee Ferguson. You should also note that there is an implementation and deployment training class that has already been developed and are working on the course schedule. And the URL is provided on the bottom of slide 19. So moving forward, some of the other tools that you're used to using, let's talk about software availability. Many of you have accessed the software catalog and value package programs under the IBM Partner World umbrella, and that is where this software is available for you now. Flash demos are available through the Tivoli Knowledge Center. The Incentuate VM demo is no longer available, and you should know that end users can work directly with the IBM sales teams where the deals are direct to obtain evaluation software. If you need pre-sale support around proof of concept or proof of technology, please contact your local IBM channel sales manager. And I've already talked about the distributor and end-user support. We really are thrilled to have the Incentuate customer support teams become part of IBM, and they're a great asset to us. On slides 21 and 22 is an overview of a security channel play that we have going right now, and this should help you identify and progress new opportunities that will include TAM ESSO. So you can see the play summary, the value prop, and then also when you think about your end user and what role in the organization you're going after, in the middle of slide 21, you can see some of those pain points that you can talk to. Slide 22 has the toolkit, if you will, for this play around roadmaps, VIC training, and partner playbooks. And I'd like to end the content with, of course, our call to action for you, our partners, and also remind you or let you know that there is a backup section available on the web where you found this deck, and it includes a little bit more information on the product feature functionality as well as a reminder or recap of the IBM Partner World program and partner incentive programs of SVI and VAP. So always for our new partners coming in from Incentuate, please sign up to Partner World so that you can learn more about SVI and distributors and working through our passport distribution mechanism. We encourage everyone, of course, to build your skills and pipeline through our enablement offerings, leverage your network and channel sales managers to help you close and progress these deals, and then participate in the Security for General Business channel play. Mike Kahn is here from Business Development to help you where you have version 6 customers that need to have transition plans put into place. The final slide of this deck are points of contact for additional information at the geo sales level. And, of course, I'm available to address or find the right person to address any questions you have. So with that, we have 10 minutes left. I'd like to open the call up for general questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. We'll pause for just a moment. Question from Russell Tate.
Okay, Russell.
Hey, hi everyone. Quick question on the pricing. It seems to be a major impediment for the small organizations. If we go incremental 1,000 once you reach 1,000 users, I thought that was incremental 250 up to 5,000. Because if someone has 1,100 users, for example, at full price, at 1,000 users, they'd pay 99, they'd pay a total of 100,000. If they have just 1,100 users, they've got to bump up to 2,000 licenses, so it'd be 200,000 total. So those incremental users, you know, those 100 users cost them an extra $100,000 or $1,000 a head.
I have to take a look. I wouldn't think it would be that much. Now, what we can do is
I've seen before, I'm sorry, incremental 250 up to like 5,000 rather than kicking in an incremental 1,000 after 1,000.
Yeah, I mean, it's what we're trying to do is to ensure if we're at that very low end, we can work with you on that.
Okay.
The main thing is below 1,000. We really don't make, you know, with our support costs.
I understand. And listen, EK, know, you know, the target market we're looking at, there are a lot of 2,000-4,000 person organizations. So that's where it becomes sensitive.
Right.
So, okay. I'll follow up on that. Thanks.
Thank you. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. And there are no further questions at this time.
Okay, super. Amy, and for the team that presented today, thank you so much. And to our partners and sellers, we appreciate your time and investment. Please know that we're here to help you, and we look forward to a successful close of third quarter. And that ends our call today.
Thank you. That does conclude today's presentation. Thank you for your participation, and have a great day.
Hey, guys, are we back on the...
Yeah.
Please stand by. One moment, please.
Keith, you on?
Oh, one moment.
Please stand by. One moment.